The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this third day of August 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance now more than ever. And tonight we're going to go a while with our producer, Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And we have that world-renowned naturopath doctor. Well, it's his time of month again, Dr. Peter Glidden. Hey, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Pastor. I have one question for you, Pastor. What's right and what's left?
You know, that's a good question. Now, we didn't rehearse this, did we? I mean, have I talked to you since the last radio program?
Negatory, Ghost Rider.
Okay, so here you go. Now I'm going to show you why I just said that. Our scripture tonight, now the title of the message was The Left's Covenant with Death and Their Final End. And my scripture tonight is out of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And it deals with those on the right and those on the left. Now, how about that? Was that prophetic?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And so, wow. Boy, we have a whole lot for you to go to digest tonight. I mean, we got a lot of stuff. I've got some very interesting clips that for you to comment on. And one especially, it'll be a 48-second clip, but you... Well, I'll tell you about it when we get there. But we're going to start tonight in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. And here is the judgment on the Gentiles. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, here, this... judgment seat, Christ here. And the other judgment seats you had, like the Bema Seat judgment, where only believers are present, the White Throne, where the unbelievers are present. But here, you're going to have both believers and unbelievers both present. You're going to have both sheep and the goats present. And this is a little different. This happens right at the end of the tribulation period. And he goes on to say, and therefore... And before him shall be gathered all the nations. Now, that word nations actually is the very same word we use for Gentiles. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep and the goats. And the sheep, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, in the Bible, to be... seated on the right hand was the seat of honor and the seat of righteousness and authority. To be seated on the left was a seat of dishonor. Now, isn't that something today? If you believe in God, you believe in country, you believe in righteousness, decency, they call you a right winger. But if you believe in everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, if you believe in abortion, if you believe in sodomy, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, they say that you're on the left. Now, isn't this prophetic?
I don't think that's a coincidence.
No. And so, in fact, if you go back a couple thousand years, it's still in the Bible referred to those on the left as the unrighteous. In fact, it refers to them as fools, really. And so here, he goes on to say, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in." Now, here, again, when we're taking a look at this, and it says inherit the kingdom. The kingdom here, Peter, can only be the earthly kingdom centered. In fact, if you go back to, senior moment, I know what I'm thinking of, but it's Kaya. We're talking about those, it's referring to Jerusalem. It's actually referring to Jerusalem here. And so here, centered in Jerusalem, Messiah is the king over all the earth for 1,000 years, Romans 20, verse 6, or Revelations 20, verse 6. I'll wake up. I'm getting there. I'm a little tired tonight. Now, Christ is going to rule with righteousness and an iron rod. I remember those verses very clearly because that's Psalm 2, 6 to 9. Why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain thing? And then, of course, again, Revelation 19:15. Now, although the chief nation here is going to be Israel, that's where it's going to be centered, there will be at least remnant populations left of the Gentile nations, and some of each for the probably are among the sheep, and such will share in Christ's millennial kingdom. And so he goes and he says, "When I was naked, you clothed me, and I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And so, now, just think about this. Again, I remember this very clearly. Do you remember going back when Obama was running in 2008? And they were running, and I want to just keep reminding people of this. They run these ads. They call themselves the Matthew 25 Coalition of the Religious Left, the Religious Left. And they had these apostates, virtually devils, demons, made these commercials talking about how Obama was such a good family man and all this and that. And they came out and they referred to themselves as the Religious Left. And what they were doing, Peter, is they were making a mockery. They were making a mockery, laughing at the biblical illiteracy of so many people. This was the idea. They literally mocked and laughed because of, you know, so many people. Now, I had people tell me, "You see now, these people, Obama's a Christian. Do you remember Bill O'Reilly?" Remember Bill O'Reilly? Pardon?
Yeah, I do.
I would pull my hair out. I'd listen. O'Reilly would say, "Yes, I believe he is a Christian because of his of the statements that he's made in his profession." Man, look what he is doing. I had to say to myself, you know, I mean, I'm not mean or nasty, but I'd have to say Bill O'Reilly's a fool. You know, he is just Well, he must himself be biblically illiterate to not see that here's a man, the most pro-abortion senator in the history of the country, a vile person. I mean, extremely vile. And, you know, O'Reilly, who really prided himself. O'Reilly prided him on his great judgment. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, he was... like I said, I believe he was very, very foolish. But...
Well, the hubris on the left, as well as the hubris in Hollywood, is legendary.
Oh, you're telling me.
Most of the people that have risen to that level of fame in the media, they've been compromised one way or the other. And they think that their you-know-what doesn't stink. And even when they're proven wrong, ultimately, there's no recourse. There's no saying, I'm sorry. There's no nothing. They just move on as if it's a bright and sunny day. And it's the same with the liberal population. They're completely unapologetic. They've always believed that it's their way or the highway, and the ends justify the means. It's extremely Machiavellian, and it's a problem.
Oh, it absolutely is. And so... When they were making that back in 2008, when the Matthew 25 Coalition, the Religious Left, came out, I thought, you know, I'm going to help them out. I'm going to let people know who these people really are, okay? And we took them right to this passage of Scripture right here. But then we took them to several other passages of Scripture where it referred to those on the left. And I noticed something. I did it, and what happened was immediately after I did that, I noticed other radio programs had picked up on it, like this one, and were doing it too. So they quickly pulled all those ads because it was like, hey, the genie's out of the bottle, folks. They figured out what we're doing. And so then he goes on to say here, going back to where we left off, and he says, and the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, as much as you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so this was referring especially to the Jewish believers that made it through the tribulation period. These are people now that have come before the Lord. These are people that are alive. They're not, at the Bema Seat judgment, those are for the righteous, but we've already died. And then at the white throne judgment, the unrighteous, they've already all died too. Now, but these people here are all alive during this judgment. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, we, from time to time, I will have some of the prissy preachers saying, Pastor Uni's a very mean, mean man. He uses very strong language, you know, because I talk about, yeah. And so here, now listen to this. Have you ever heard me say anything that could be stronger than this? Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, those are the words of the Lord Jesus, right? And so, for I was a-hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And so that's how they end. But I wanted to just make a quick statement and just jump over here for a minute to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I heard former Attorney General Bill Barr make a statement. And he came out, and he was going after Trump. And this fella, you know, Barr had most of his life had had a fairly decent reputation as you know, and when he was appointed, he still had had a decent reputation, but that reputation is gone. And here's exactly what it says about that. In fact, if we go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and we read this, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So if you're making up an apothecary, which they make medicine and perfume, if you have some dead flies in there, well, it don't smell so good, does it?
Not at all.
But it says this, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. In other words, a man could live his whole life with a good reputation as being honorable and wise, and then do things like Bill Barr has done. He sold himself. He really sold himself. And I've listened to some of the others that have come out, conservatives, especially those attorneys and the number of the senators, godly men, you know, good men, like Ted Cruz and others, and they have commented on what he has done. He's come out, and he betrayed, and he lied, and he knew he's done that. So, and it's catching up with him, just like with Mike Pence. Mike Pence destroyed himself. And, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, I should refer to him as Alithophil from now on. Mike Pence is Alithophil. And so here...
Pence could have changed everything with a stroke of the pen, and he decided not to.
Right, and he's still telling lies. He had, look, the standing in front of him was Josh Hawley, Jim Jordan, and a number of other senators and congressmen. In their hands, they had all of the evidence of this stolen election. Now, it was the job, when they brought this to him, it was his job to look at that and say, well, let me see, let me take 10 days and look at these allegations, because wait a minute, these are serious allegations. And now, it was Donald Trump's job as commander-in-chief to see that the Constitution was carried out. You see, these people are lying through their teeth. They're lying and they're lying and they keep on lying, okay? Let me ask you this question. They said that Mike Pence did not have the authority under the Constitution to do that. Well, then why did the Democrats immediately try to pass legislation so that the vice president would not have the authority to do that?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, again, they can't tell the truth. They're liars and there's no truth in them. And it was Pence's job. Pence failed. He buckled, okay? And, you don't suppose that he might have been thinking, well, and somebody got into his head, if he's reelected, it's another 4 more years. I'll have to go another 4 more years as vice president. And I want the top shot. The top seat there. Do you suppose maybe that thought came into his mind?
I don't think so. I think he's a globalist through and through. I don't think he was an ally of Trump at all. I think he was just like Comey. I think he was working against Trump the entire time. And when he had the opportunity to really stand up and do the right thing, he didn't. And, that speaks to just a really bad character. So I think all of these people have made deals with the devil on some level.
Well, when I referred to him as Halithophil, that was David's top general. He was his top advisor. Well, it would be like his vice president. And he betrayed David in a horrible way, okay? And I see Mike Pence doing that. I remember when they passed the legislation when he was governor of Indiana, and he said he would not, he would not sign same-sex marriage into law. He refused to do that, and they put the pressure on him. They said, the court says, you better do this. You better buckle. You better buckle, Mikey. And Mikey buckled, didn't he? And so
Mikey buckled.
Yeah. I guess, you know, aren't you so tired of being betrayed?
I mean, it's the never-ending story, isn't it? I mean, that's all that's been happening here for the longest time.
You're telling me.
I think it all started before Nixon, quite frankly. I think Nixon was set up. I think this goes back a ways.
And yeah, it does.
We're cognizant of it now because of current events, but man, oh man, it's just been it hasn't been good for the average Joe for a long time. It's just people without any integrity who've made deals with the devil who are running the show, and all there is to it.
Well, Eisenhower warned us about that with the military-industrial complex. He said, these people are devils, okay? And that's exactly, they're traitors. That's what this whole war is all about, the Ukraine. And we told people, and just like we told people before, all of a sudden, guess what they've discovered? That all of these arms that were being shipped over there that are supposed to be going to the battle, they're being sold on the black market. We told you, front page of the Epoch Times, the front page of the Epoch Times, it told you what we told you. We knew that, okay? But here, listen, let me go back to where I left off, and I'm going to read verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 10. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, now listen, and tell me who this describes more than anybody today that's in the news every night. Ye also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Who is it that just recently came out and referred to himself as AI? Unbelievable. I'll give you a hint. It's Joe Biden.
It is unbelievable.
It is. It really is. We're going to do a bunch of things here tonight. I want to play a couple little clips. First, I want to go to, are you there, Style? Let's do this because we got just about enough time to get the clip in, the 2 minute and 59 second clip, the one about the snake venom. Okay, listen to this.
Posing viruses or venoms as antivirals. You need to get this. Everybody needs to be aware of this. All future vaccines, all of them, they are working towards using animal venoms for every single virus. Hepatitis B virus, the one they give you on day one when your baby's born or grandbaby's going to be born. In the future, if not already, they are snake venom-derived products. Listen to this. As a consequence of the scarcity of new families of antiviral drugs, we don't have enough. Pharmaceutical companies have strengthened their efforts to increase developments of known current drugs. Read this. Therefore, prospecting, searching for... Sorry for the music. We might need to shut that off for a minute. Therefore, prospection, screening, and all other phases of biological activity, validation, clinical development of animal venom peptides are an essential scientific investment. Read that last phrase. For protecting and perpetuating humankind.
I want people to go read Executive Order 14067. Executive Order 14067, signed by Uncle Joe, the 8th of March of 2022, and it went into effect 13 December 2022.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
The nature of this CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that.
Right.
But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. And it was around this large and would be implanted under your skin.
CBDC. If that happens, We're done.
China's taken over. And China, you know, I heard a couple of people say, well, the dollar will never lose the dollar standard. Are they kidding?
Now the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have announced plans to develop a new currency.
Since my name is Cash, I'm constantly worried about inflation.
All righty, there you go. And so here now, you've got this. We did with Dr. McCullough, we just did a segment this week about this venom that's in all of this. We talked about this before. And the reason we did that is people are dying. They're dying left and right. Now, I want to play just another 49-second clip for you. Now, who does this sound like? There's one particular fellow who's been on the radio making this statement. And let's see if we can figure out who that is. Go ahead and play that clip.
The 1910 Flexner Report changed everything. And just 20 years later, half the medical schools in America had been shut down. The report gave the American Medical Association control over college accreditation, and any university that taught homeopathy or naturopathy would lose their accreditation. Universities were leveraged into teaching petroleum-based medicine. What they weren't told was that the Flexner Report was funded by the Rockefellers, who controlled 90% of American petroleum refineries at the time. And now med students have been trained this way for generations.
This is all part of a unit study I created on the medical industrial complex, because we can teach our children how these systems are truly corrupted.
Check out my private homeschool community and Cubs to Bears books.
Now, who did that sound like, Peter?
Sounds like me.
Yeah, it was you. You were out there a long time ago with this. I mean, big time, weren't you?
Yeah. Because it's the truth, Pastor, and nobody has been taught it. Everybody needs to understand this. You know, knowledge is power. My people are destroyed by lack of it. And because of the medical monopoly that's existed in this country since 1912, we've had an egregious lack of knowledge across the board. And like the fella said, well, if it's good to be the king, and when you are the king, you can do whatever you want. And medicine has become a self-regulating, self-policing industry, and as has been shown by the whole COVID debacle, they can do whatever they want with impunity. And most people, most sheeple people, will just go along for the ride and do whatever the doctor says, and that's a problem. And this is why you and I get up in the morning to tell our truths to whomever has ears to hear.
Well, you know what, Peter? We're going to be getting up pretty early in the morning on the 9th of August, because on the 9th of August, there's going to be a bus leaving here in the Cleveland area, and it's going to be going to Columbus, Ohio, and it's going to be leaving at about 6 a.m. in the morning. And the reason for that is because our dear friend, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, they're trying to take her license away from her. There's going to be a big hearing in Columbus. And so we're sending people down. We're showing up. We're showing up. Here in Ohio, we have a real battle going with the Communist Party. And so that bus will be leaving at the Eastgate Shopping Center at 6 a.m., and that's going to be at Route 91, Route 322 in Mayfield Heights. And for more information, it's RSVP, folks. It's a nice bus. It's one of the big cruise buses. The cost is $35 per person. And, again, the hearing started about 9. That's why they have to leave so early. And so to reserve yourself a seat on there, call Carol at 440-544-1001. 440-544-1001. Again, and reserve yourself a seat on that bus. And we're going to have to, it looks like we've gone past, so we're just going to have to forget about that break tonight. We'll just pick it up at the top of the hour. And so I wanted to go back. Peter, there's one more a clip I should play you, and then just turn you loose on all of this, because you're the guy that's been out there in charge of all of this to begin with. And by the way, before we go there too, I wanted to say, folks, here, don't forget, on issue one on August 8th. This is extremely, extremely important. Issue one, that you vote yes. Now, a yes vote is pro-life. On issue one, a yes vote is pro-life. A yes vote is pro-Second Amendment. A yes vote is pro-parental rights. Peter, we have the dark money coming in here from California, from New York. Communist Party money. And we have what they want to do. And these people, and I'm going to tell you, the hypocrisy is stifling amongst the left. I mean, it's really stifling. What they want to do is they want to pass to amend our Constitution for this November's election. And they just want to go all out pure death, evil, just evil as can be on us. Now, I want to just show you what I'm talking about, Peter. In Ohio, it only takes 51% of the vote to amend the Constitution. Okay? Now, the people that are behind this, who don't want issue one, see, issue one says we're going to change that to it's going to take at least 60% of the vote, like most all the others, okay? Like the U.S. Constitution. The people that don't want to change it, those on the left that want to keep it at 51%, one is the ACLU. They're a Communist Party, so-called legal arm. Theirs, in their, amend their constitution, it's 66% of the vote. The Democratic Party of Ohio, which is a Communist Party. There is no more Democratic Party. They're communist to the bone. With them, it's 66% of the vote. The League of Women Voters, which is simply a branch of the Democratic Communist Party, they're the League of Some Women Voters. And all of the ones that I know of are on the far left. And I don't know of one. In fact, I could say this. I really can. And I don't mean to be mean. And I don't mean to be nasty. But I don't know of one woman who I'd want to be a friend with who's on that League of Women Voters. They have to change their constitution, 66%. The NAACP, 66%. Now listen to this. The NEA, the largest communist teachers union in the country, 75%, supermajority. Planned predators, the most wicked, evil, ungodly, creeping, crawling purveyors of death, killed more people, more human beings than any army in the world. There is a 66%. And the Ohio Education Association, 75% supermajority. The hypocrisy there, the hypocrisy of these people is stifling, okay? Peter, these are the same people that are pushing the child sex slavery, child sex rings, the dark yep. money coming in here by the millions and millions and millions coming into Ohio from California, from New York, and from these other states to change this. And the people in Ohio better stand up. Now, listen to this. There seems to be a movement within the pulpits. It seems like some of the pastors are discovering courage. They're finally starting to discover enough courage to stand up from the pulpit and speak out and tell their people to do the right thing. Go out there, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. Go out there and vote yes and educate people on issue one. And I can tell you this, if I was in a church and that pastor didn't have the courage to stand up and do that, I would leave there. But before I left, he would get God's word, the Bible, to the point and make his hair on fire. I mean, there, that's just the way it is. But anyhow, yeah. So anyhow, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, she's been a real, you know her very well. She's been a real champion for our causes, and now they're trying to take her. They've gone after Peter McCullough. They've gone after Marcolo. And I'm sure they've been after you. And so, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, we always had a saying in the military, when in doubt, charge. When not in doubt, charge anyway. And that's what we're going to do. Right?
I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah. That's it. That's ours. So there you go. So now, I got this one other clip. And then you really got to listen to this one and go after it. So go ahead and play the clip on dumping.
on our streets, triggering calls to the WAVE troubleshooters alleging patient dumping by local hospitals. Two different $2 million plus patient dumping jury verdicts recently in Kentucky caught our eye. But what really got our attention was where calls to our newsroom led us when we began following up on the complaints.
This story begins December 1st at 5 p.m. with a phone call to our newsroom from a horrified University Hospital employee claiming security had just wheeled a woman all the way out to the corner of Hancock and Ali, just off hospital property, dumped the elderly woman out of the wheelchair on the sidewalk, and left. Minutes later, we shot video of her, still in a soiled hospital gown and slippers, breathing hard under a blanket placed over her in 36-degree weather, her stuff in a bag next to her. The employee claimed she sees this a lot. So I started watching, and on December 16th at 7 p.m., 35 degrees outside, I record three security guards surrounding an elderly woman with a walker, slowly escorting her out of the emergency room. She can't move fast. It takes several minutes to make it all the way to the same corner of Hancock and Ali. After they have her across the street, off the hospital property, the security guards turn around and go back. When they clear, I catch up to her, and she says she can't breathe.
They told me that I could not stay on the premises.
Amen. Were you in there as a patient?
Well, I needed to be a patient because I'm sick.
What's wrong with you?
I've got COPD. I got diabetes.
So they wouldn't even treat you?
The doctor talked to me for 1 minute.
And they told you what?
That I had to leave.
What reason did he give you?
But he didn't give me a reason.
She tells me she's homeless.
Go ahead.
I've got to go because I'm hurting. I'm in pain.
I was in a car crash, and it completely shattered my hip and pelvis. Right here, I got like 30-something screwed.
Matthew Hauber and his mother claim a similar story. They met us in front of Wayside Mission in the spot where they say he was dumped in October.
Anywhere. And they said, well, we can't find a rehab right now.
Linda Hauber said when Norton Hospital told her they had a room lined up for Matthew at Wayside, she checked it out.
I called Wayside Christian Mission. And just to confirm, and they said no. They said we can't do that. We can't. You know, they have beds and they help them find jobs and stuff, but we don't take medically needy people. We don't do that. And
then she says she had a conference call with the hospital staff.
The social worker said we're going to take him to a shelter, and I said which one, and they said Wayside Christian Mission. And I said, well, I know that's not true because I called them and they don't take him. And then the lady said, the social worker said, well, that's history. Let's think of something else.
Hauber says the next day, her son was unloaded from a transport vehicle on the curb in the rain on Jackson Street in front of Wayside.
I thought, they've dumped my garbage. I have to put it out to the curb. That's how they dumped my son, like garbage.
Linda Hauber said she was in no shape to care for him at home. And she died after this interview.
They put all their stuff on the sidewalk over there. They dump them all over here on the sidewalk and get back in that vehicle and get out of here just as fast as they can.
Wayside staffer Perry Lane helped Matthew out of the rain and says he witnesses the same kind of thing dozens of times per year from hospitals as far away as eastern Kentucky. He says they're often lied to about the medical treatment they'll receive at the shelter.
What's the worst physical shape you've seen somebody in who was dumped? This guy here was pretty bad.
Paralyzed. People that can't walk, that are totally relied on a wheelchair. Take them out, put them in the wheelchair, throw all their stuff on the and take off.
Wayside's Chief Operating Officer Nina Mosley tells me it's not uncommon. She says they're not trained medically, and sometimes they take patients right back to the hospitals.
How can you dump people? These are human beings. How can you just dump them and leave them? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's unhuman, man.
We detail these incidents with dates and times to both Norton and University Hospitals. Norton Healthcare Senior Vice President Renee Murphy responded in an email that says, in order to safeguard the privacy of patients and in compliance with HIPAA, we are not permitted to discuss specifics regarding a patient's case. There are several details to this case that may not have been communicated to you by the family. As Mr. Hauber has not signed a HIPAA release of information form, we will not be able to share those details with you. University Hospital Public Relations Director David MacArthur replied, "They appear to be working on behalf of U of L Hospital. Unfortunately, the images that were provided by WAVE do not reveal enough information to track down additional details or identify whether the individuals on either day sought care from any of our team. What is heartbreaking for U of L Health staff is that we often encounter situations where patients need assistance beyond medical care. As the community's safety net hospital, the challenges are particularly even more acute when providing health care to the unhoused population of Metro Louisville. Community resources are limited, and even when they are available, many individuals that may benefit from those resources still refuse assistance. The Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, known as EMTALA, was passed in 1986 as a federal anti-dumping law. It mandates patients who present to a hospital emergency department must undergo an appropriate medical screening examination by a physician to determine whether they have an emergency medical condition. If they do, they must be stabilized and treated, and an appropriate transfer may take place to another facility with adequate capabilities."
Juries take the hospital's obligations to treat emergency patients very, very seriously.
Attorney Hans Poppe knows that firsthand. He won a $2.3 million patient dumping verdict, most of that in punitive damages, after his client, who was coming to a Lexington hospital by ambulance with a cardiac emergency, was turned away and directed to another hospital.
Juries don't like to punish hospitals.
There aren't many verdicts in Kentucky history favoring plaintiffs in alleged patient dumping cases, but this one is interesting. A $1.5 million verdict awarded in Fayette County to a difficult patient with a history of ER visits, dumped by a hospital, rolled outside in a wheelchair with taxi fare, and hours later, the man was dead of an untreated ulcer. After being reversed on appeal, another jury socked the hospital for $1.45 million.
So what that tells us is if a jury hears a case and they believe that there has been an EMTALA violation, where a patient has been dumped or abandoned by the hospital, they really get upset.
Dude, like, I'm worthless, man. We're throwaway. We're garbage, you know?
Now, I was contacted this week by a police officer who worked off-duty at University Hospital who says she emailed U of L Health CEO Tom Miller on March 1st about this issue and what she was witnessing, and she says she was then informed she would no longer be working there. I asked U of L about that. They say the officer was concerned about the same things they are, and they're collaborating to increase community resources for the at-risk populations. As for being let go after her email, U of L would only say that she was employed by a third-party security service.
All righty, we are back. And Peter, I've never had a situation. In fact, I want to say that just recently I had had some major problem with a hip where I had to go into the emergency, well, not the emergency room, but urgent care, whatever. And of course, I was treated very nice, and I've got to say my doctor is really great. It was really good. But I have had calls from people, a number of people, that tell me that they've had a situation where they've been totally ignored. They went there, they would be in the emergency room, totally ignored, and they called me to want to know what I could do, and I told them I would talk to the staff, go tell whoever's in person, I would like to talk to them. If you have your phone, your cell phone, and bring it to them, and tell them that I would be, you know, if they won't talk to me, then I was going to give that patient airtime to explain their situation. And usually what would happen, what I believe took place, is after that they were treated because they didn't want to make this a news story, whatever. But that happens, and it's all about money, isn't it? It's not about – whenever you get big pharma and all these people, it's only about the money, isn't it?
Well, and yes, it's 100% about the money, and we need to keep everything in perspective because from the proper perspective, everything makes sense. And stuff like this can only happen inside of a monopolized system. And that's what we've had in place since 1912. It's a medical monopoly, which is so vast that people do not even recognize it as a monopoly anymore. They don't. And that's how shenanigans like this can happen. That's how all of the stuff that happened with COVID can happen. It's because medicine is a self-policing, self-regulating industry. They can do whatever the hell they want to. And if they do get caught, it's a slap on the wrist or it's a fine, which is well within their means to be able to pay. And this is the way that the world is. I mean, it's satanic, quite frankly, how these things can happen. Can you imagine going through all of the education necessary to become a medical doctor or a healthcare provider and then working for a business that throws people out onto the street who are sick? Can you imagine doing that? I mean, how do these people live with themselves? This is the question that needs to be asked. Where is the moral fiber? Where is the moral rectitude here? It doesn't exist. Mostly, I would argue, because these people are atheists. Because they have no understanding of natural law. They have no understanding of God's law. They have no belief in anything metaphysical. And so as far as they're concerned, you can do whatever you want, and especially if you can get away with it, then, you know, better for you, and bully and rah-rah, because, you know, you stuck it to somebody and you got your own, because humanity is just a bag of biochemicals waiting to break. This is how these people think, and it's really bad. And, you know, you're right, Pastor, that one of the problems is that this is not epidemic. It's not 100% of the medical people who are doing this 100% of the time. I don't even know if it's 50% of them that are doing it. There are a lot of really good, well-intentioned medical people. There are lots of them. Yeah, lots of them. I've got friends, right, associates who are on the other side of the fence. They're medical doctors. They're MDs. They're allopaths. They're good people. And they would never do anything like this. And if the organization that they worked for, the hospital system, the HMO, the medical group that they worked for did this, they'd leave. But these people are, you know, apparently the exceptions and not the rule. These types of behavior can only exist inside of a medical monopoly. And look, my message always has been and always will be, it's very simple, that people need to take control of their own health. People need to take their power back. People need to investigate and educate themselves about methods that they can do right now, today, from the comfort of their own homes, in order to make their bodies healthy. Because your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but your medical doctor doesn't practice health care. They practice disease management. And disease management is really good for certain things, but it's really bad for most things. You don't have high blood pressure because you have a heart. You don't have eczema because you have skin. And you don't have arthritis because you have joints. Nor do you have a bad gene. Nor do you have a voodoo curse. Nor was it caused by chemtrails, which are a real thing, by the way. There's a reason that these things happen, but your medical doctor, bless their heart, are not educated in the root cause of these problems. They're not. They're just not. My profession is. And this is what we bring to the table. And the tragedy here is, honest to God, that if you're smart enough to pass the driver's license test, you are smart enough to learn what to do to make your body healthy. You are smart enough to learn what to do to deal with your blood pressure, to deal with your eczema, to deal with your arthritis. You are smart enough to know, to learn what to do. I have a friend who came up with this phrase, and I wish I'd come up with it. I'm stealing it from him, but he said, I don't want patients, I want students. And that's exactly how I feel. Simple education here goes a long, long, long way. And that's what I'm about. That's what my website is about. That's what Eiffel Health is about. That's what we are about. It's about educating people about what they can do in order to rally their bodies built in God-given ability to fix itself. That's right. I said it aloud. God-given ability to fix itself. And this is the message. Your body is inhabited by an intelligent spiritual force, which is running your show. Your body is so smart it grew itself all by itself from a tiny cell. Now, if it did that, you think it knows how to fix itself? Well, yes. The answer is yes, but it needs help. You need to put clothes on when you go outside. You need to drink water. You need to eat food. You need to bathe yourself. Well, there's other things that you need to do in order to help your body to fix itself. But you don't know about these things because you haven't been taught them because of the medical monopoly. And that's what I and my colleagues do. That's our specialty. And you desperately, with emphasis on desperately, need to know what I know. You desperately need to know what I know, ladies and gentlemen. So for goodness sakes, get the books, go to the website, become a subscriber, call this show, get your questions answered, and let me show you how to slowly, safely, and effectively extract yourself from the Machiavellian conventional medical mousetrap, because as God is my witness, it's killing you slowly.
Well, we have Peter's book, Attempt a Cure with Holistic Medicine, and folks, it is dynamite. He goes from A to Z, and it's about almost 280 pages in this book. We have this. We ask a donation, $40 or more for this book. But if you are destitute and you can't afford it, then let us know and we'll work something out with you. And we've given a number of away where people have been destitute. But he also has got a book called Everybody is Sick and I Know Why. It's a startling expose regarding the abject failure of the MD-directed allopathic medicine. And folks, this also is a very, very good book. It's telling you what he's just telling you, talking about here, why people are sick. It's about 160 pages, but we are out of these. We don't have any of these, Peter. So,
I'll send you more tomorrow, Pastor. Appreciate the heads up.
All right, thanks. Yeah, we definitely need to get those out. We'd ask a donation, I think, at $30, or like I said, if you're destitute, let us know, and we can work something out for you. We do that a lot. But anyhow, people have been calling, wanting to know if you're going to be with me tonight. I said, as far as I know, you're going to be here, okay? And so what I'm going to do, because of that, because we never get enough, actually have enough time to take all the calls that come in, and if we could, maybe limit those calls. Normally a call, we don't want to go more than 3 minutes, okay? But in your situation, I can understand, sometimes it takes a little more. So we'll go as much as five, but the people have to understand that there's people waiting, And if you have 7, 8 people waiting and you have people that are 5 minutes ahead of them, so we need to move it through it. But we're going to open the phone lines when we come back from the break here and let you take those calls because, I know you hear from the people, so I don't have to explain to you. You know what we're talking about here. So anyhow, that's what we're going to do. And also, I'm going to ask Peter, too, at some point about the CDC warns anthrax will most likely be used if bioterrorist attack were to happen. The FDA earlier this month approved anthrax vaccine. So when they tell you we've already got the vaccine, they're telling you something, folks. What are they telling you? Wake up. This is the depopulation, people. They're telling you they're going to bring on the anthrax. I'm telling you, they've done it every time, So we're coming to a break. When we come back from the break, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. Be right back after this with more.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Amen. Let's come again.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.